Good morning, Bible Way Church. We welcome you to this morning's service, and those who might be joining us across the internet, we do hope it'll be a blessing to you. We're here in, again, the empty auditorium this morning, which is unusual, but the Lord's here with us, and we just hope that something that's said and done will just be an encouragement, a blessing to our folks. This is the Sunday school portion, and of course there'll be another broadcast, another recording, which comes just after this with the pastor's message for the day. What I'd like to do this morning is ask Coulter if he'll come this morning, open for us in prayer, and we'll do our announcements and get into our Sunday school lesson. Brother Coulter.
Good morning, brethren and people joining with us. And let's have a word of prayer. Lord God in heaven, I thank you this pretty morning, Lord. Woke up with your creation still singing to your glory, Lord. Lord Jesus, God in heaven, we're in a strange time, Lord, but it ain't strange to you, Lord God. You're still King and your hand is still on it, Lord. I ask you, Lord God in heaven, as families get up across the country, Lord, as they give family devotions because they can't get out, Lord, that your Holy Ghost will swing through. I ask you, Lord God, that your Holy Ghost will meet with us here today, Lord. And you, Lord, breathe on the men of God across the land as they find new ways to get your gospel out. I ask you, Lord God, you'd breathe on each and every man, Lord. Oh, Lord God in heaven, I ask that you'd look upon all the sorrowed hearts today, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, you'd breathe on them hearts. And you're the only one I know, God, that can bind a heart. A doctor can't help a heart, Lord God. They can't help sorrow, Lord, but you can. I ask you, Lord God, you'd hold on to those hearts across the country, Lord. I ask you, Jesus, that they'd look upon thee. Oh, Lord God, and see that you're still in command. You're still one, Lord. Oh, I ask you to look upon us today and be glorified. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Coulter. Just in the way of report, there's six of us here in the building this morning that I know of. And then when you add the Lord, we got a crowd. All right, we'll go ahead and make our announcements this morning. April the 5th, Palm Sunday, and I did choose one of my favorite verses this morning. The Lord is my light and my salvation, and whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and of whom shall I be afraid? And I think that's just a great verse for us to remember at this time of year, or this season that we're in, the Lord has got control of our life, and through him, we're not going to be ruled by fear. We'll make our announcements this morning. Order of service again, the opening of the prayer, the announcements, Sunday school, and if you've got your Bible, turn to the book of Luke, the 19th chapter. I'll be taking a simple thought there this morning, closing, and then we'll have a second broadcast with the sermon. Now, remember, our church services are to be announced, so expect the call all. The report is that we're kind of just in this area, just getting into the most impact. I know we haven't seen a lot of activity in this area at this point, but we hate to be away, but no services today, no services on Wednesday. And Brother Jim, if you'll go forward, then I want you to think about the fact that it's really still very important that we do what we're told, that we practice the social distancing. And I did get a quote here from the CDC website. But they are talking about maintaining, that 6-foot distance between people. And now the new guideline is particularly, when you're out in public, what have you, if you can, they're advising some type of a simple face cloth covering, something that not only helps you from other people, but it might help other people from you. So when you're out doing these things, just be really smart about it and keep the distance we need. And I know that there are folks who think, well, I never get anything, and I never get sick and what have you. Listen, this thing is not a toy. It needs to be taken seriously. Healthy people have been injured. Healthy people have lost their life because of this. We want everybody to be back here in church with us just as soon as this thing breaks and it's over. So stay healthy. We'll follow their guidelines that are suggested, until we can do that. Brother Jim? Okay, so also wanted to do a call out this morning again to the first responders. I know we think of people like Adam Lawson and those who are in the medical profession. But I thought about Bob Campbell, and my son works for a company that makes food, and people who are just out there doing the things that need to be done that they can't walk away from, the people in manufacturing operations. And thank you so much for the faithful caregivers, all these that have looked after the things that need to be done during, as Brother Coulter said, this most unusual time. All right, and with that, Brother Jim, we do want to call out, of course, if you're seeing this broadcast, then you know how to find it on the website. Lots of good things there. And listen, church, the folks listening, I want to make sure I call out the message that was given by Brother Don McCann on Wednesday night. It is absolutely one of the most inspiring. It is a tremendous message, and I would encourage you greatly that if you haven't heard it, go listen to Brother Don McCann from Wednesday night, and it would be just a great blessing, a great encouragement to you. That and other things that are online. Now, to our folks within the church, you're not alone. Please reach out to the pastor, to one of the deacons, if you do have a need in your home. Something doesn't work, or you can't get some grocery you need, or you're out of a certain medication. If they can help you, they will help you. That's what church, that's what family's for. So please reach out, and don't feel abandoned. Even though we might be separated, you're not abandoned. You're not alone. All right, with that, I wanted to put this one in here to just keep us encouraged and thinking about Vacation Bible School the week of June the 8th. Well, today's April the 5th, so we can do, you know, May, June. We're not quite at 60 days, but we're really, really bearing down on getting to the point of Vacation Bible School. We're getting the lessons in order. This building, this campus, will be just transformed into a wonderful place for these young people. Just in a couple of months, we look for life to get back to normal and for us to have a wonderful Vacation Bible School. Put that on your calendar, and for our teachers and those who cook and those who run games and what have you, start looking forward, start praying about those services because that'll be a great blessing as soon as we get there. Okay, so with that, I want us to turn this morning in the book of Luke, the 19th chapter, and we're going to look at a very, very familiar story, the story of Zacchaeus. I want to read some scripture for you. We'll go back. I've just got a few points, I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But in the book of Luke, the 19th chapter, the account is given here. It says, beginning in verse 1, it says that Jesus entered, and he passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was small of stature. And he ran before, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for Jesus, was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he saw him, and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. Verse 7, it says, and when they saw it, this was the crowd, the spectators, when the crowd saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood, and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And we get to the thought I want to bring this morning in verse 9 and 10. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. In verse 10, for the Son of Man is to come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege to stand here this morning, Lord, to bring the Sunday school lesson, Lord, to try and be an encouragement to people. Lord, just to dig into the truth of the Word of God. And, Lord, to bring forth something that in this day that we're living, Lord, would just show us about the confidence we need to place in Christ, the love, the care that he has, Lord, for all those that are around him. And Jesus, I pray that you'll just take this simple thought this morning and just bring it out exactly the way that you would have. I have no idea, Lord, of who is seeing this broadcast, Lord, and if they were in this auditorium, we have no idea what's going on in each heart and each life. But, Lord, we love you. We trust you. We can believe in great confidence and great faith that you are not only a miracle worker, changing circumstances of the lives around us and the circumstances around us, but Lord, that you can work within our lives, that we might be able to overcome the circumstances that don't get changed. Lord, be with us in all that's said and done this morning, we pray. Amen. Now, we see the 19th chapter of the book of Luke, and Jesus has come to this place where he finds Zacchaeus. But the story here begins actually in the 18th chapter. And the setting for this encounter is Jesus is very near to the end of his ministry. In fact, if we were to read forward, we would see that Jesus is just about to enter into Jerusalem, and he's about to be greeted by the crowds, and they're going to lay down their garments in front of him, and he's going to be treated, you know, just with such wonderful splendor. And he's got the people following him now. But he's near the end of his ministry, and it's interesting that if we can read this scripture and we can understand it in the context of the fullness of God and his coming. But I wanted to point out a verse in the 18th chapter. Jesus did several wonderful things in the 18th chapter. He met with several people. And we get to the 34th verse of the 18th chapter, talking about Jesus' disciples. And it says, "And they understood none of these things." In the verses just before this, Jesus had told them how he was going to go to the cross, how he was going to be delivered to the Gentiles, how he was going to be scourged, put to death, and how he would be resurrected. And in verse 34, it says, "They understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." So even though Jesus has been with these disciples now for, you know, over 3 years, they still did not have a spiritual understanding of who the Son of God was and what his mission was. In fact, part of what we see here as the crowd follows Jesus and as he gets ready to go into Jerusalem and to be received, they thought he had come to change the world, to be a ruler of the world, that he was going to lift the people of Israel from the power of the Roman Empire, that he would liberate them, as it were. But he didn't come for that. He came to liberate souls. He came to change the eternal life and the eternal destiny of those people he came into contact with. And even at this point, the disciples who had slept in the same camp with him and who had been shoulder to shoulder and who had been with him literally at every moment of the day, who'd seen all of these great miracles, they did not understand what it was that was going on in Jesus' life. So we see this point where Jesus has taught them about literally just before this, the crucifixion, about the resurrection, and they come to this place and they're not able to understand the circumstances. Now, the 18th chapter of Luke ends with this wonderful miracle. The chapter ends with the miracle of the blind beggar who cried out to the Lord Jesus and had his sight restored. And the Bible tells us that part of the reason the beggar knew that Jesus was there was because of the crowd that was following him. There was this great activity, this great commotion that was around Jesus, and it was very positive at that point. So this goes on, and Jesus comes through this area, and in verse 1 of the 19th chapter, it says that he entered into Jericho. Now, Jericho, we had a lesson on this just recently. Jericho was a city that was built and destroyed, built and destroyed, built and destroyed. And here it's a place that Jesus is coming through on his way to Jerusalem. And I always love to look at the Word of God and see how things are connected. Joshua came through Jericho on his way to victory, to the things that God had planned for him. Jesus came through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the cross, on his way to resurrection. And in the first verse, first few verses of the 19th chapter, we see that Jesus entered and he passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, Jesus had the ability, had the ministry, he had the love in his heart, that he ministered to a lot of people that maybe others wouldn't talk to. And the scripture here becomes very clear that this man Zacchaeus was not popular. He was not the hometown hero where everybody was excited about the good things that Jesus was going to do in his life. But the first point I want to make this morning is that Jesus came. Jesus came to see Zacchaeus. And I'm glad in my life there was a day some 40 years ago when Jesus came and ministered to my soul, that he came and convicted me of the sins I had. Now, the Bible tells us here that there was a lot of activity. Jesus was coming, and people were around him. And in fact, it was so well populated that Zacchaeus couldn't even get close to Jesus. The best way that he had to even see who he was, that's what the Bible says here, is that he sought to see, sought to see Jesus, who he was. Zacchaeus was curious. But I don't think he was just curious in the aspect of, was he tall, was he thin, you know, what was his appearance, what kind of clothing did he wear, what did the other disciples look like, that type thing. I think he wanted to see who this man was that literally was changing the world around him. The report would have been gone forward of all of the things that Jesus had done, the miracles. And by the way, not long before this was the resurrection of Lazarus. Zacchaeus would have known these things, and I think that he had a spiritual interest in his heart. He was a man that, quite frankly, based upon his own testimony and the treatment of those around him, he was probably not a nice guy in a lot of ways. Maybe he was corrupt. Maybe he had taken advantage of people. But he wanted to see the Son of God, the Son of Man, that had been promoted, and Jesus came to him. Now, I want to say this morning that I thank God that Jesus and God are very consistent. I love things that are consistent, not because they're predictable or what have you, but because you can understand the priorities that they have. Jesus went to see a lot of people, including Zacchaeus, including the Samaritan woman at the well, that a lot of other people would not have given attention to. And in the world around us today, I'm glad that Jesus comes to see the people that need to see him. Here in the book of Luke, it's where we often focus at the end of the year. This is a December book, as it were, a lot of times. Because we get the wonderful story of Jesus' life, and we get a lot of detail about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 2 and the early life of Jesus, as it were. But folks, I'm glad that Jesus came as a baby, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, and that he lived a sinless life, and that when his ministry came from the time of, as it were, the announcement by John the Baptist and what have you, that he was actively always going and seeking lives that he could change. He knew the people that he interacted with down to the very intimate details of their soul. I would tell you this morning that he knows the intimate details of our soul. The thing that keeps you up at night, the sin, the burden, the brokenness from years perhaps gone by, Jesus knows all about those things. And just like he came to the woman at the well, like he came to Zacchaeus, he came that they might have life eternal, that they might have peace, that they might have a relationship with God that transcends religion, as it were, and goes down to a personal relationship. Jesus came to that point, and he looked up into that tree, and he saw that little man, Zacchaeus, and told him to come down with haste because he was going to change his life. The resurrection of Lazarus, the touching of so many through the Word of God, Jesus always came at exactly the right time to change and to do what was needed. So Jesus came. The second thing I want you to see this morning is that Jesus called. We get down to the fourth, fifth verse. It tells us that Zacchaeus in verse 4, and he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. And verse 5, when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Jesus called unto Zacchaeus. Now, isn't it amazing that Zacchaeus, if you think about it, he wasn't wearing a name tag. He didn't have a shirt on that said, I am Zacchaeus, I am chief among the publicans, and I am rich. Now, maybe the attire he had on, the type of clothing and all that, maybe it indicated he was rich. I think it's pretty amazing that this small little man in rich attire was able to climb this sycamore tree. He probably looked a little out of place there. Maybe he was surrounded by other children or that type of thing. But when Jesus looked up, he called him by name. Now, can you imagine what it would have done in Zacchaeus' life when the Son of God, the worker of all these miracles, the very center of all of this activity, came to that place and looked up at him and said, "Why don't you come down? I'm going to spend time with you. It's important that we get to know each other." Well, folks, I can take you back to a place in my own life 40 years ago when the Lord Jesus called my name, Steve. And our pastor's here this morning, and I've heard his testimony many times about when Brother Rick was saved and Brother Gary. And there's a point in life where God just absolutely connects with you. And it is absolutely undeniable. Jesus made eye contact with Zacchaeus. He was there in his physical form. They were both in the same place. I'm telling you today that Jesus still makes contact with us. It's through the Word of God. It's through the Holy Spirit that was given to us on the day of Pentecost that we might be quickened, as it were, in our soul. And Jesus called unto Zacchaeus. And he told this man to come down, that he wanted this relationship with him. He knew his heart. He knew the intentions of Zacchaeus. He knew the intentions of the woman at the well. He knew the intentions even of Judas Iscariot, who went on to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved every one of them. And I'm going to tell you, 7.5 billion people, or whatever that number is on the face of this earth, Jesus Christ is calling unto each one of us, that we might know him as our personal Savior, that we might live a life that's in the fullness and the happiness and the joy and the peace that comes through us through knowing that the circumstances of this life are nothing compared to the glory that through the forgiveness of sins through the Lord Jesus Christ that we'll inherit here on the other side of this life. I mentioned as I did my announcements, Brother Don McCann's message, and I'm going to say again, you have got to hear that message. That is absolutely a tremendous message. It is an encouragement, not just in times of the COVID virus and that type thing, but Brother Don, in his message, just reaches out and just talks about how the Lord changes hearts and calls to people and what an encouragement it is, you know, to know him as our Savior. If Jesus Christ has ever called you in your life, you would know that moment. And I hope that as Zacchaeus did, that when Christ comes and he looks at that place and he makes that contact with you and says, come down, make haste. You know, today I'm going to go to your house. Today I want this personal relationship with you, that you would accept that call. The greatest decision that you'll ever make on this earth is, what do you do with Jesus Christ? He is the only propitiation. He is the only redemption. He's the only bridge that God ever made between man and himself. He is the only path that will give us eternal life and take us to heaven. So Jesus called to Zacchaeus. He came to that place. He called to him. He said, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he wants to live in this house, this house of flesh that each one of us has as our Savior, as the forgiver of sins, as the giver of peace. And I did want to echo something that Brother Don McCann had said in his recording. He talked about all the turmoil in the world around us today, and you know, and all of the nuances and all of the complexity and what have you. And he talked about the peace that he had in his heart. And I can echo that. You know, Brother Don, myself, the pastor, the people here, we may not know. We don't understand exactly what's coming and how this thing's going to affect Northeast Tennessee. And quite frankly, if Jesus doesn't come, where we'll be 6 months from now, where we'll be a year from now, we don't know those things. But we can know the God of peace so that we don't have to worry and fret and wring our hands and, you know, and just, you know, and just be distraught by the circumstances of this earth. The same Jesus that interacted with the people in chapter 18 of the book of Luke and the chapters before that and the other four Gospels, and the same Jesus that changed the life of Saul of Tarsus and he became Paul, the sower of the New Testament church, the same Jesus that did all these things, the miracles, the resurrections, the healings, the blessings, the things that people could not understand, he's the same Jesus that still holds this earth in the palm of his hand today. And we as his children do not have to fret. So Jesus came and Jesus called. And it brings us really to the third point, which is that Jesus cares. Jesus cares. I want you to look at the reaction of the people who were around Zacchaeus. So again, remember, there's this huge crowd. Here's this man in the tree, and he's got on this rich man's clothing. And Jesus stops and acknowledges him. The crowd hears this and what have you. And I want you to look at their immediate response. It says in verse 6, and he, Zacchaeus, made haste, and he came down, and he received him, and he received Christ joyfully. In verse 7, it says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. There wasn't much care and compassion there, was there? Probably a little question that Zacchaeus had done some people wrong. He was, perhaps he had gained his wealth because he had dealt with people improperly. But they didn't care about his soul. They didn't care about his well-being. In fact, here was an opportunity for them to throw a rock even at Christ, saying, he didn't even kind of recognize the person he's dealing with here. Aren't you glad that Jesus looks beyond what we are and what we have been to see what we could be through a changed life? The mission statement of Jesus. The Bible tells us, by the way, that when Zacchaeus, when his little feet hit the floor and when his feet hit the ground, it says that he stood, he reached the ground, he stood and he said, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And by the way, let me stop here for a second. There was a standard in that day that if you were proven by a court of law to have taken advantage of someone, gouging as it were, or what have you, there was a standard. There was a consequence for that. Zacchaeus knew very well what that consequence was. He went way beyond that when he said, Lord, I'm going to do more than what's expected. His life, his heart was changed. When did it happen? Well, it happened somewhere between, you know, limb 3 and when his feet hit the ground. I believe that when he hit the ground, his heart was already changed. Now, the Bible tells us that when Jesus saves our lives are saved. Our soul is settled. Now, the work of sanctification, of becoming what God would have us to be, that takes a little more time, and it takes a lot more work. I believe that when Zacchaeus hit the ground, that work was already started in his life. His heart was changed. He had come to Christ. He had accepted him. I think it was incomplete what he had. And by the way, I believe that's what Jesus did when he came to Zacchaeus' house, is he preached the gospel message in its entirety, in its clarity to Zacchaeus and those that would have been in his house and his servants and guests, all those that were there. Jesus made all of this clear to him. But Zacchaeus realized when he was there in that tree that Christ was offering him something he would never get through this world. Folks, when Jesus knocks at our heart, when he demonstrates his care for us by calling us and convicting us of our sins and helping us to understand that we need a Savior, we need to answer. Zacchaeus answered when he came down and when he gave his testimony of restoration. And look at verse 9. And Jesus said unto Zacchaeus, unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Jesus cared. Zacchaeus was saved on that day. What does that mean? We hear that word used a lot, to be saved. It means that his sins had been forgiven. He had been bestowed eternal life through the sacrifices of Jesus Christ. That Zacchaeus, like Steve, like Brother Rick, like Brother Gary, like Brother Coulter, we can know the forgiveness of God, not by our own works, not by our own deservingness, because we have none, not by our own righteousness, but because of the gift of God. Salvation came to the heart of Zacchaeus. The mission statement of Christ here in verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is absolutely essential to us understanding the Lord Jesus Christ. The first point I made is that Jesus came. He came to Zacchaeus on this day, some 33 and a half years, more or less, after he had been born of Mary. The Bible tells us in the second chapter of the book of Luke that there was this great grandeur, as it were, about the angels singing and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to think about the birth of Christ. It's entirely, I guess, appropriate. But we, as the body of Christ and as the citizens of this earth, we put a lot of romance about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his birth. We decorate the trees, always beautiful, and we do the gifts, giving of gifts in his recognition and his honor, all good things. But the truth of the matter is, when Jesus came to this earth and was born of a virgin, the life of those around him was very complicated. There was war. We saw that just 2 years after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was genocide. There was oppression. There was, you know, disease and famine and illness and all of these terrible and wicked things. We can put the right picture on that. We can put the right spin on that and try and be positive. But the fact of the matter is, the world has always been really a bad place. You look at the time when Adam and Eve when they sinned and they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. They had two sons. One son brutally murdered the other son. You begin to look at just the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, and you see that just in a short period of time, the world had become so wicked. The Bible tells us that it repented God at his own heart that he had made mankind, and he sent the provision for Noah through the ark to be saved through the flood that destroyed all of humanity. Not too long after that, people got together and they decided that they would build a great tower to Babylon. And you go through, you've got the punishment of God upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and you see the things that happened. The fact of the matter is, when Jesus came to Zacchaeus, the world in a lot of ways was exactly as it had been before. You had people who were wicked, people who needed a Savior, people who were in a desperate condition without the indwelling of God and the knowledge of eternal life in their soul. Folks, we live in a very complicated world around us today, and people are saying, you know, is there a cure for this, and what do we do about this, and look at all of the devastations here, economic and physical, and people are now saying, well, when we come out of this thing, there'll be, new power opportunities, new leadership opportunities. The most important thing that Jesus came to do was not to change the world around us. He didn't come to bring a new political order at this point. He didn't come to end all of the disease, although he touched so many lives and changed hearts, and he resurrected Lazarus, and the blind, their eyes were opened, and the lame were given their ability to move. Yes, he did all those things. But really what he came to do was to die upon the cross of Calvary, that through the forgiveness of sins, through the blood sacrifice that was given by Jesus Christ, we might have eternal life. The world around us today, if we're not careful, they lose sight of that fact, that message, that Jesus' mission statement is given by himself in verse 10. Just before he goes on to Jericho, just before he's greeted by the crowd singing Hosanna, the same crowds, by the way, that shortly thereafter would say, crucify Christ and give us Barabbas. Jesus gives the essence of what he came for in verse 10. It says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now in your Bibles, I want you to turn back a few chapters in the book of Luke, and we're going to look at Luke, the second chapter. And as I said, we have the angelic host and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that are given here. And we go to the interaction of Simeon. And I love the story of Simeon. And the Bible tells us in the second chapter of the book of Luke, beginning at the 27th verse, it says, and he, Simeon, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought the child Jesus to do for them after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, "Now I want you to look at this. And I want you to look at it in the context of what we just read about Zacchaeus, about the mission statement of the Lord Jesus Christ." In verse 29 it says, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." Look at these simple verses. "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Simeon held the child Savior in his arms, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he gave this prophecy that was being fulfilled with each interaction that Jesus had. And now he had come to Zacchaeus. He had demonstrated the love that God had manifest towards man in sending his only begotten Son, that the world through him might be saved. Souls would be changed. Circumstances of life, well, the Romans were still in charge when they crucified barbarically the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross on Golgotha's hill. But Jesus was fulfilling his statement to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's still where he's at today. That's still the focus of the church today. That's still what we ought to focus on, is the introduction of the gospel message. And by the way, I appreciate everybody that's watching this broadcast, perhaps even internationally, we don't know. But not everybody's heard that message, that God loves you. And on the other side of this life is either heaven or hell. And the Bible's very clear that the only way you're going to go to heaven is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, having your sins forgiven by the blood that he shed on your behalf. And if you reject that in its entirety, then God has no other choice for you but to send you to this place called hell that was created for the fallen angels, for Lucifer and those that followed him. Very, very simple. We can dress it up and we can make it as complicated as we want, but the fact of the matter is God sent Jesus to die for your sons. Die for your sins as his only begotten Son. So Jesus came, Jesus called, Jesus cares. And I'm going to close with this. Jesus is coming again. The Bible tells us that the next time that he comes to the earth, he'll be coming to get his church. Now the word's not used in the New Testament, but we call it the rapture of the church. A time when God will see that the church age has been fulfilled. And he'll come and those believers that are on this earth, in a supernatural way that we can't understand and begin to adequately explain, he will remove his church. He'll take them to be with him. And then we'll begin the 7 years of tribulation, a time like this world has never seen. Persecution, famine, terribleness, and it never escapes me that we've seen times of famine, as recorded in the Word of God, when a mother would just destroy her own child, you know, that she might preserve herself. If times have been that bad in the past, imagine what it's going to be like when Jesus takes the church out and this world is turned over to the devil and things here just go from bad to worse to it's never been this bad before. But Jesus is coming, and he is going to take his people home. Folks, I would encourage you this morning to know what your relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus, that rich publican, when he climbed into the tree, he was looking to see who Jesus was. When he climbed out of that tree, I believe he knew him as his Savior. Folks, it only takes a moment of time to recognize that we are not capable, we are totally inadequate of doing anything that would ever really be pleasing unto God. That's why he sent his Son, that through him we might have eternal life. Jesus came, Jesus called, Jesus cares, Jesus is coming again. I would encourage you to think upon those words, to know your relationship with Christ, and if you don't know the Lord Jesus, truthfully, this moment, particularly if he's dealing with your heart, is the time to ask him to come in to be your Savior. Shall we pray? Lord, I do thank you for this simple message this morning, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that in your word you've given us the story of Zacchaeus and the woman at the well and Daniel and Joseph and Noah and Paul and John and Peter and so many others, Lord, that we can look at these people They were real people just like us that lived in a different time, a different age, Lord, but their circumstances were just like ours. They lived in difficult days. What they really needed was hope and peace and satisfaction and a Savior that you gave to this world whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for those who've taken time this morning to listen to this lesson, Lord, that they would be blessed and be encouraged. Give us, Lord, a heart of faith that we might overcome fear. Lord, help us to be generous in all of the things that you've given to us to share with others, that the gospel might be seen as alive and well in the hearts of your people. God, help us to read your word with great excitement and encouragement, Lord, Lord, realizing that your word is truth. There is no falseness in it, and that the things that you have said that will come to be are coming to be and will come to be. We may not understand how, but Lord, you will bring everything to perfect completion, just as you did on that day of resurrection when the Lord Jesus Christ arose after 3 days in that borrowed tomb to step forward victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your church. Lord, we thank you so much this morning for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, these things we ask in your blessed name. Amen. May you have a good day. May you be blessed, and be sure and watch the pastor's message to follow.